Rishus Rav Cohen. First of all, it truly is a zchus to be back here at this Beis Medrash with the Chosh of the Talmidim of our yeshiva. Always gives me great chizuk to see the guys who come back even after their requirements are all completed and they don't have to officially be here for any particular purpose, but just to sit and learn Torah Lishma. It's such an amazing thing, and I always get chizuk from it, so yishar koach to you. Nemirtz Hashem, the same nuchas ha-nefesh you enjoy as you sit and learn Basmada Rabbah without any of the cares or concerns of classes, or hopefully minimized at least, so you should enjoy that same nuchas ha-nefesh throughout the entire year. Begin with a little bit of a Nyana Diyoma. 30 years ago, Wayne Gretzky and the upstart Edmonton Oilers, with a team full of future Hall of Famers, had finally made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, where they faced, of course, the powerhouse of the New York Islanders. At the beginning of the 1980s, the Islanders were in a dynasty. They had already won three Stanley Cups in a row, and now the Islanders were facing this upstart team, the Edmonton Oilers. And of course, the Islanders made quick work of the Oilers. They swept them in four games. And the next season, they were back playing each other again. And that's when Wayne Gretzky and his teammates finally won their first Stanley Cup. I forgot how many games it was. But they interviewed Wayne Gretzky after the game. And they asked him, what's the difference between this year and last year? It's basically the same two teams. Last year, you came in and they swept you four games. You couldn't even stand a chance. They wiped with you. This year, all of a sudden, you come back and you beat them. What's the difference? And explained the great one as follows. After the fourth game last year, as we were walking out, we were basically fine. We all, after the game, we showered, we got dressed, we got our stuff together. We started leaving, and we were able to glimpse into the other team's locker room. And we saw the Islanders, who had just won the Stanley Cup, and they could barely move. They couldn't even celebrate because they were all just wounded and completely drained from exhaustion. And seeing that, that taught us the lesson, now we know what it takes. If you want to win, that's how you have to look by the end of the game. Parshas Chukas presents us with one of the most famous drushas in the Torah. Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yudalid, Zos HaTorah, Adam Kiyamus Ohel. This is the Torah of a person, of a dead body who is in Ohel. And the Torah goes on to explain the halachas of Tumah ba'Ohel, of what happens if there's a person or a keli or food or ochlin underneath the same Ohel that a dead body is in. And of course, the Gemara in a couple of different places explains the very famous drasha of Zos HaTorah, Kedomar Eish Lakish Minayin Shein Divrei Torah Miskayimin, Ela B'Misha Memes Atzmo Aleha. How do we know that Divrei Torah are not miskayim, that cannot be withheld, that cannot be upheld, Ella, except for someone who's memis atzvo, who literally translated, kills himself over the words of Torah? Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, Zos HaTorah Adam Kiyamus Ba'ohel. This is the Torah for who? The person who kills himself over it. What does it mean to be memis atzmo aleha? Do we literally have to allow ourselves to be killed in order to be able to learn Torah? Can I settle for something maybe a little bit less? Do I really have to go to that extreme to exert myself that far where I'm meimis atzmo aleha and I'm literally taking away from my life? That's the only way Divrei Torah can be miskayim within me? And what in and of itself is that lashon miskayim? It's upheld within me, it can be established within me, and that's only through memis atzmo. What does this mean? There's a very common term used nowadays that unfortunately gets thrown around, and it's just become a colloquial term that everyone just uses, sometimes even just as a joke. But it wasn't always that way. The term is Mesiras Nefesh, to sacrifice of ourselves. See, if we travel through Jewish history and we try to understand what Mesiras Nefesh always was about, if we go back thousands of years, Mesiras Nefesh meant that if I dare learn a word of Torah, I was going to be brutally murdered. But yet, I found a hidden cave somewhere and I learned Torah anyway. And if I dare had a bris milah, or if I kept Shabbos, chas v'shalom, then I would be dragged through the streets and my flesh would be cold. That was Nesiras Nefesh. And hundreds of years later, Nesiras Nefesh became, if I didn't convert to Christianity, I was going to be tortured and brutally murdered again for not obeying that deity. And a few hundred years later, again with pogroms, it meant just being Jewish, there were going to be hordes of people running through the streets, just beating on you, just literally because you were a Jew. That's what it meant to have Mesiras Nefesh. Just to simply be alive and to live as a Jew with your life constantly under the knife. That was Mesiras Nefesh. And of course, we don't even have to mention what Mesiras Nefesh meant. A short 70, 80 years ago in Europe, the stories we've all heard of what it means to be truly Moser Nefesh, to live on a slice of bread and a cup of water a week, to live in a concentration camp, and to smuggle in a small pair of tefillin, knowing that if you're caught with that tefillin, what it would mean for you. That was Mesiras Nefesh. What is Mesiras Nefesh for us? In our generation, in 2013, in America, where life is so easy, life is a piece of cake compared to what Jews have had to experience through our entire history. And we use Mesiras Nefesh for when we have to wake up a half hour early for Slichos. What Mesiras Nefesh we have to put in. We use Mesiras Nefesh for it comes to the 9 days and now I have to take a slightly cold shower. Mesiras Nefesh. What does it mean for us? It's such an important term. It's such a crucial term in our lives. And yet when we use it in our lives and we compare it to what Jews have had to experience for centuries, how can we even think that our level of Mesiras Nefesh, what does it all mean? Rav Aaron Roth, who is the founder of the Shomer Amunim Hasidim and with the Sefer, so termed Shomer Amunim, he writes about himself the following story. He says, when he was a bachur in yeshiva, when he was probably in his teenage years, he felt a complete and total darkness in his life. The way he describes it, we could basically describe it as depression. He was suffering through an extreme depression. And he felt as if, the way, again, his own words, he says, he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either save me or kill me. But to live in this existence the way I am right now, I cannot continue. So God, please choose one. Either let me thrive in my life or just take my life from me. I cannot do this anymore. And so he went to the Kibrei Tzadikim. He went to the cemetery to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Tzaddikim. And he made the following determination. And he said, I'm going back to my house right now. I'm going to open up whatever sefer happens to come to me from the shelf. And no matter what happens to me, I am going to sit and learn that sefer no matter what the consequence may be. And for someone going through, again, what seems to be an extreme depression, it literally could be a life-threatening undertaking. But he says, Yavor alai ma, no matter what, I'm going home, I'm taking out a sefer, and I will sit, and I will learn. And he goes back, he reaches up to the shelf, and he pulls out a Maseches Mikvaos with a rash. And he starts learning it. And at first he struggles, and he feels the pain settling in on him, and he feels the darkness becoming as deep and as dark as the Choshech of Mitzrayim. And yet he continues and he pushes through what he felt was literally death. And Baruch Hashem he did because he became the Shomer Amunim. If we want to know what Mesiras Nefesh is in our generation, Lo Rav Lo Lechem Velo Tzomo Lamayim, in our times, we do not have the physical subjugation like they did in the past. We do not have the suffering of our bodies like they did in past generations. Our Mesiras Nefesh is more of an emotional battle. Our Mesiras Nefesh, we could even say, is a psychological battle. We have everything we could possibly want in our lives. And our Mesiras Nefesh is to take of our lives and to still find something that we can sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rav Moshe Wolfson, the Inyan Mesiras Nefesh, Ein HaKavona Davka Limso Nafsho Lehariga. Mesiras Nefesh doesn't only mean to give over yourself for death. It doesn't only mean sacrificing your life. Ela kol avoda shehimis nagedes l'rotzon haguf. Any avoda, anything we do within our avodas Hashem that goes against the nature of ourselves, that goes against our inherent characteristics, he mesiras nefesh. That is what is considered mesiras nefesh for us. Ki nefesh perusho ratzon. Because a person's nefesh is his ratzon. It's what we want. It's what our desires are. V'cha'asher misyagim b'torah yoser mikifine tias ratzon. When I am involved in Torah, and I'm omel b'torah, more than what my ratzon drives me to do, and I feel like I've hit a brick wall, and I cannot possibly learn anymore, I've reached my limit. When I take that one next step and I extend my ratzon that much further, that's our Mesiras Nefesh. O Misamtzim Lavol His Palal Tfila Haguna Im Chaver Mirei Hashem Amis Palim B'Misinus. Or I decide that I'm going to daven in a minyan where it's a slow, it's a geshmak minyan. And I'm not just going to try to run to the fastest minyan that gets me to Seder at exactly the right minute. When I make those decisions that go against my very teva, my very nature, that is my being moser nefesh. That is my going against my ritzonos. And I am sacrificing something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We could all think in our own personal lives of certain times where we have felt that a certain nesayon is just too much for us to handle. This certain situation, this certain obstacle that's in front of me, I just can't do it. It's just, we've all heard the phrase, it's just not me. It's not for me. To learn that extra Seder, to stay in the Beis Medrash that extra time, that's just not for me. Maybe it's to be involved in a certain program that I know maybe is not the best thing for me, but yet I just feel like I have to do it. It's just a part of what I am. I want to go there. Maybe it's going to a certain summer camp that maybe isn't the best environment for us. But yet all my friends are going, I can have a good time. But when I push myself past that ratzon, when I tell myself that it doesn't matter where I think my limits are, I'm going to take that next step because I'm going to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want my ratzon, you want my nefesh, here's how I'm going to give it to you. I'm not just going to make a joke about being Moser Nefesh because I woke up a little bit early. And I'm not just going to make a joke about being Moser Nefesh that I'm going to turn my phone on vibrate or I'm going to turn it totally off when I come into the Beis Medrash. But I'm going to truly and honestly and sincerely sacrifice of myself and give of myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to be Meimis Atzmi. I'm going to push myself to such a level where there's nothing left of me. When I can't even get up at the end of the day, that's when I know I've won. That's when I know I've reached the point where I've truly done enough to get to where I need to be. But it's only when we push ourselves that much further, when we've reached the level where we think we have to stop, that's our Avodas Hashem. Our Mesiras Nefesh comes with the next step. And that's the crucial part of our lives. That's what pushes us to go further and further. Rav Dessler writes, Kol Madrega o Madrega, every level, every mile, every step that we want to take in our lives, Tchilas Kinyasa Ayudei Omel V'Yegiya. The only way to reach that next step is through hard work and effort. Ad Kidei Nesiras Nefesh. Until a point where we truly feel we are sacrificing. And we have to understand, if it comes easy, That means I am not being moser nefesh just yet. I was talking to one of the guys this past week. I'm sure in the sayon that many of us face, when you go pre-med, and you know you have to work so hard in your classes, and yet you also, of course, have to be involved in extracurricular activities, and then, of course, you're trying to keep up with your learning. So I was talking to a guy over this past week, and he said to me his strategy, which I'm sure many of us in our own lives have formulated the same exact strategy, but he basically calculated the exact amount of time it would take for him to be able to do just enough in his sciences to be able to get by and have extra time a little bit for his extracurricular activities, and also some time to be able to learn, and some time to be able to relax and hang out with friends. He gave it the exact amount of time. And of course, what happened? Did not do well at all. It's not enough to just do the exact amount that we need, but we have to stretch ourselves further. We have to completely and totally dedicate our lives to our Limud HaTorah. Even when we think we have to stop, even when we think we can't go any further, even when we think this is my limit, I can't do any more, that's when we have to go further. In the words of Rav Meizlish, in the Sefer Sichos Avodas Hashem, the Torah halomedes ba'ofen kazeh, the Torah that's learned in this way, where a person pushes off everything else in his mind, and a person pushes himself, and he sacrifices, and he goes against his very nature to make sure he's striving to take that extra step, that person, harehi misugeles biyoser lishbor kol hamechitzos, that person is mesugel to break down all the mechitzos between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ulahamshich or nifla v'tanu gadol b'chol avodas Hashem, and to bring in a tremendous tanug, a pleasure and a delight in his avodas Hashem for our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'Torah, u'b'tfilah, u'b'shar mitzvos. This is a yesod hachayim, to be able to push ourselves in all areas of life, to daven a Shemona Esrei, and to feel as if our minds are wandering all over the place, and to puff our fists sometimes, to make ourselves get back into it, to feel it, and to dig down deep, where we feel we don't have anything left, and to still push ourselves. This is the type of avoda that allows us to become great. This is the type of avoda that allows an ordinary person to become mamish a gadol b'Torah. This is what allows us to have the Torah be miskayim within us. The Gemara Maseches Nedarim and Daf Nun Amud Aleph tells over an unbelievable maisa of when Rabbi Akiva first got married. He was so poor, of course, because his father-in-law had made a neder against him and his daughter receiving any hana from his vast wealth. They were so poor that they had to sleep on the straw. And Eliyahu HaNavi, seeing this, comes down to him in the form of a pauper who didn't even have straw to sleep on. And he begged of Rabbi Akiva, my wife and I just had a baby and we have nothing. Can you please lend us even just a piece of straw or a couple just so we have something? And Rabbi Akiva and his wife were able to see that, look, there are people who are worse off than us. We should be sameach b'chalkeinu, we should be happy with what we have. And with that, they were able to get the extra chizuk to go on and learn. And asked again, the Sichos Bavodas Hashem, if Eliyahu wanted life to be easier for Rabbi Akiva, and he wanted him to be able to learn better, why would you put a pauper in front of him so Rabbi Akiva has to learn this lesson, hopefully, through a way that he can hopefully realize? Just have someone drop a bag of gold coins in front of his door. Give him some money. You don't have to let him be rich. Okay, fine. He doesn't have to drive around in a Rolls Royce. But at least give him some food for the week. So now he can sit and learn. B'menuchas ha-nefesh, v'asmada rabba. Because without the mesiras nefesh, he wouldn't be Rabbi Akiva. And chas v'shalom with Eliyahu HaNavi, take that away from Rabbi Akiva. Because that's the only way he becomes Rabbi Akiva, through the Mesiras Nefesh. And this is our Nisayon, this is our opportunity. Each person has to know for themselves where in their lives they know they can be Moser Nefesh. Where in their lives they have said that phrase to themselves, it's just not me, or I think I'm doing all I can. Every person knows for themselves. Everyone has to do that Cheshbon HaNefesh to understand within themselves where they can push themselves. And by finding those areas, by pushing ourselves, by being Meimis Atzmeinu, by literally sacrificing of ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to a point where we collapse at the end of the day. So it's not just the businessmen who come back from a 12-hour day and come back and collapse in their beds, but it's the B'nai Torah who are learning in the Beis Medrash Basmada Rabbah. We should be the ones who are collapsing at the end of the day in our beds. And Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, by putting in this Mesiras Nefesh into all areas of our Avodas Hashem, we should see tremendous peros in our Limud HaTorah, in our Shmiras Einayim, in our Tefillah, in our all of our mitzvos. And it should add a tremendous level of Kedusha to all of our lives, again to our Chashuv Beis Medrash, and to all of Klal Yisrael.